Hello, everybody, and welcome to RPG Cast 800 for the week of February 7th, 2026. That's right, we're on a landmark show, and I have kidnapped the show from my spouse. Get out of here, Chris. You're on call this week. I'm going to tie him to his chair. No, I'm sorry. He is chained to his desk, and in fact, I asked the person in the can what was on my schedule for this week, and hilariously, the location of Chris's on-call is actually chained to his desk, and the Alexa actually acknowledged that and was like, looks like Chris is going to be chained to his desk for a while longer. It's like, it was smart enough to process what that meant. Interesting. Wow, nice. I don't want to call it smart. No.
So instead you got us backtrack people.
Yes. So did I say that I'm Andy Privateer?
Not yet.
Okay. Hi, I'm Andy Privateer. I'm here with Kelly Ryan.
Full of antibiotics and spite.
I'm here with Matt Mason.
Oh, I'm full of Chick-fil-A.
And blessedly, neither Kells nor I are full of stones.
Yay!
But there was a high risk of that happening earlier this week.
Yeah, we're both making body pearls this week, it seems.
So I woke up a delightfully Thursday morning and like the most intense pain radiating down my left side, like into my thigh, around to my back. And it's like, great. I love having kidney stones.
And so, I wake up Sunday morning and I feel like there's a golf ball on the side of my face. I thought it was a lymph node, but then I go to the doctor and no, it turned out it was my saliva gland and I thought that I had a saliva stone. So they give me some antibiotics and then Wednesday morning I wake up in so much pain that I cannot function. So I have my husband take me to the immediate care doctor and they get in and they're like, well, you need to go to the ER. You might have an abscess. We can't check that for that here. And I'm like, okay. So we go to the ER and the ER is like, you don't have an abscess. You're fine. Here's some stronger antibiotics. Now go away.
Now go away.
That's what it felt like.
No, honestly, having been to the ER enough times with something that ended up being a nothing burger, no, that they are basically now go away.
Yeah,
that is an accurate assessment.
It just they weren't that busy, so it's not like I was taking time from somebody that fell on a bullet seven times.
He fell on my knife. Fell on my knife 17 times.
That was Simpsons reference.
Oh, my bad.
No, it's okay. You're doing the Futurama reference.
But, no. Oh my God. Kells, how were you not a theater person?
Good question, because I'm actually quite shy in person.
Fair.
But the fun thing about a swollen saliva gland is that you have a major nerve on your jawline, and when that gets swollen, that nerve makes your whole face swell up and hurt like a mofo.
Yeah, I had that problem when I had my gum repair surgery, and they also took out my wisdom teeth, and I had ended up having giant black eyes, and just like that part of my face just hurt, so yeah, I couldn't talk.
Even my wisdom teeth surgery wasn't this bad. This I thought I was in a bar fight. My face hurt so bad, and now the infection's mostly gone away, but now I'm dealing with the aftermath, including migraines from the antibiotics.
Antibiotic side effects are the best, says nobody ever.
Yeah. My face is all broke out. Oh, and I made the pharmacist laugh because they were consulting me about my pills, and they were like, well, this antibiotic will give you diarrhea, and this pain pill will constipate you. So I said, well, with any luck, they'll just even out.
Basically, yeah.
Like, which force of nature is more powerful? I guess we'll see.
I love it when you get meds like that. It's like, well, damned if you do and damned if you don't, I guess.
So, while I was still well, pun intended, I played through Animal Well. That's the kind of pixel arty, really beautiful Metroidvania game. It
Ooh.
doesn't really have a story. It just kind of plunks you into the world, and you're just trying to escape from this animal well, and it's more puzzly than Metroidy, so you're not doing any shooting or anything. And it was a really fun experience.
Did this come out just last year?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Tina on the 84 Play cast was playing this and talking about it at some
Because
point. Sounds familiar.
it had just had a physical release come out a couple of weeks ago, and
So were you waiting for your physical copy to play it?
I had pre-ordered it, and it finally got here, and it's just a really beautiful game. They give you a bubble wand pretty early that lets you platform via bubbles,
Oh, cool.
and if you're good at it, you can basically like bubble jump just about anywhere. And the game kind of
If you
knows
get good at
this.
it.
Yeah, and the game kind of knows this because in spots where they don't want you to just cheese the puzzle, with the bubble wand, they either put up vines which break the bubbles or put up a hummingbird, that will break the bubbles. And then later on you get other items to kind of traverse the environment. And the somewhat famous thing about this game is that it is full of secrets. Including secrets or certain puzzles that like couldn't be solved by one person.
Oh, interesting.
Like that there was a mural, and only your copy of the game has a piece of the mural, and people had to like figure out they
Oh, put together
basically
multiple copies of the mural to get it to work?
yeah.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
And then apparently there's another puzzle that you can't do on console, obviously. That prints out a page on your printer, that's origami instructions, and when you fold it up correctly, it'll give you code.
Okay. So what
But
do console players have to do to get that?
they have to scan a barcode.
Okay. Well, I'm glad they at least like did something so that they're not totally screwed on
Yeah.
it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And like later on in the game, it is so fun when you get an item that you realize that, well, I need to go back and check some of these things. Like, one of the items you get is a UV light that shows secret messages.
Oh, nice.
So like there were some spots in the game that I had no idea there was a secret there until I used the UV light on the wall, and
And then you
it
were able to see it.
yeah. And then like one of the, I think you can only get this after you beat the game the first time, but you also get a remote control that is supposed to like flip switches remotely so that you don't have to manually flip them. But it also reveals chests if they're hidden. Like it'll show a little outline of where they are.
Oh,
And
okay.
yeah, th and there were treasure chests that I was like, I had no idea this room was even hiding that.
So there
It's
was a
just.
lot of stuff to go and find.
Yeah, just all sorts of neat little things. The collectibles in this game are literally Easter eggs. Yeah.
That's pretty swag.
Yeah. And you have to find all 64 of them to get the true ending. But that I mean those secrets weren't particularly hard to find, but the secret rabbits are the ones that are like discords we're having to like come together to solve some of that stuff.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. So you finished off Animal Well while you
Yeah.
were bumming around and being in pain. Did you play
Yeah.
anything else this week?
I tried to start up Dragon Quest VII Remastered.
Oh, that doesn't sound promising.
Well, I was so miserable. I wanted to play so much more of it last night, but I was so miserable. It was one of those things where every time I would try to focus on the in-game text, it would just make my head pulse with pain.
Oof.
So my entire evening last night was listening to podcasts while laying flat on my recliner with a warm washcloth over my eyes.
Oh, that's like so frustrating.
Yeah, and it sucks because I'm really digging what I'm playing of Dragon Quest Remastered so far. Even though I will admit some characters I don't think were meant to be in 3D. Kiefer looks like the Matt Damon puppet from Team America, and apparently I'm not the only person that's noticed this.
Yeah, Cal mentioned that beforehand, and I was like, as she was like starting to say that, I'm like, I know what she's gonna say. I know what she's gonna say. It's all over the Dragon Quest Reddits and Discords. Everybody thinks that. That face is, God, it's 95% of the way there. Like, if you would have just given that screenshot to whoever carved that doll in Japan, I don't think they could have gotten any closer.
And the fact that I came to that conclusion on my own, and that's
Oh
the
yeah,
meme
you're
that's
completely
going
independent
around,
of that. Yep.
is just
That's
like,
funny to me.
but yeah, the beginning is a lot more streamlined, not having to go through that awful temple at the beginning.
Oh, so the TTS is much better.
Yeah. Oh
Oh
yeah.
yeah. I thought I had it at 45 minutes in the demo. Well, I mean, which is the demo is just the first part of the game. So
Right.
yeah, it was less than an hour.
That's impressive considering what it was before.
And they really did a good job of trying to make this game more accessible to people that don't necessarily like to spend a billion hours on an RPG, because all of you have your default difficulty settings, but you can also toggle like how much damage you deal, how much experience you get, how much gold you get, whether or not
Oh
the
yeah, there's
monsters.
like eight or nine different things in that settings menu, and you can do it at
Yeah.
any time, like
Yeah.
between battles, like whenever you want. Also, and I know Andy, this is a big thing. They have an accessibility. There's three different types of vision
They
color.
have all three types of color blindness correction.
All three are on there, and you can put any,
Nice.
you can go from 0 to 100%
On the
on
one?
all three. So there's like 30, consider that 31 different settings.
Oh. This is going to
I would
come
have
up
no idea how well that is.
during my now playing, but any last thoughts on Dragon Quest VII, Kels?
I'm gonna keep with it just because I'm liking the art style, and it's fun going back to a Dragon Quest that quite annoyed me quite bad before. I want to play more of this because I'm having fun.
That's good. That's exciting. So you've obviously also been playing this, Matt.
Yes. I've got about 10 hours in. I've made it through, I don't know, four or five islands, which,
That's
that's a
crazy pacing considering the
it
original.
is. Yeah.
I know for most people they're going to be like, that's all the progress that you've made, and it's like, no, you don't understand how
You'd be two islands
slow
in
this
10
game
hours
is.
into that. You'd have
If
if yep.
that. Have you unlocked jobs yet?
I have not.
Okay.
And
But
from what you start
I
with
heard,
jobs
that's
now.
closer to you do start with jobs, and I've mastered them. It took less than 10 hours. I've mastered my initial job, so I'm kind of sitting there like, okay, now what? It was great. I mean, that's how you learn all your skills. So, instead of just getting Flame Slash because you hit level 5, Kiefer gets it because he's hit, level 3 proficiency in his job as future heir of the kingdom or
Future
something like
heir.
that. Yeah, I think Maribel's job is like mayoress,
Mayoris,
like
yeah. Okay, that makes
mayoress or
sense.
something like that. And then I'm just fisherman. Where I got finally got a Gabo Ruff, the wolf boy, last night, and I'm on to the. I know it's going to be a depressing one in the town with all the mechanical monsters. There's a good story beat there at the end of that.
Oh no. Oh,
Yeah.
that one's sad.
It is really sad. So I just started that one. Haven't, even made it to both towns on that island yet. It's beautiful. It's great. I think I'm gonna come. I don't know. It's just 10 hours of something that's gonna take me somewhere from 50 to 70, from what I'm hearing, which is still way down from the original 100 and even like 85 or so on the 3DS.
Yeah.
But I know the games editor over at Screen Rant. We've gone out to eat a couple times, and we chat all the time because we get all the Dragon Quest games usually we review, and so we're always messaging each other for a month before games about what we're seeing because we got nobody else we can talk to it about.
Right, because everybody's into it.
Yeah, and this time Austin texts me. He's like, "You get the review?" I'm like, "I did not. We have a brand new to DQ person reviewing it." And he was like, "No." He goes, "I got no one to bounce stuff off." And he was actually hoping that he wouldn't get it. And then somebody else at Screen Rant that sometimes did Dragon Quest like got another job somewhere else. And he's like, "It's gonna be me. I got to do it." But he's the same as me. We both played this game three or four times, like twice through each on the PlayStation, twice through each on the 3DS, and it's like, okay, here we go again for like the fifth or sixth time we're playing this game. And where he came down on it, and I can see this already like happening, like it's not Dragon Quest VII reimagined as much as it is, it's just Dragon Quest VII again. And it's great that it's on a modern console, and it's great that it looks beautiful. But I know in his review, comparing it to other versions, he's like, it's streamlined. It is way streamlined. That's amazing. This is more accessible. You know, the last time it came out was on a system that you can't buy it digitally for anymore, and 3DS copies of this game are like $250. So, if nothing else, it's great that it's out there. But, the 3DS version had all its charm in getting all the job systems and all the different outfits, and that was so cool. And they had a whole thing with the Monster Hearts and Monster Job levels in both versions. Monster jobs are gone. You defeat some monsters occasionally that are glowing, the shiny ones, and you get a medal from them, and you can equip the medal to get an extra like ability. I got a metal slime one. I don't know if it's because I bought the deluxe edition or whatever, but I got a metal slime one, and it gives me 20% more experience if I have
Oh,
that equipped
that's
on my
quite
people.
nice.
So I mean, and I think there's another one that can give you more job proficiency points because now they don't count it by number of battles. The other games were battles, like you had to battle 20 times to go up one job level, 20 times to go up the next. This one is literally points. Bosses would give me like 8 or 9, 10 points proficiency. Easier battles would give me like 3 or 4. If you, they do have an option, kind of like a lot of games, even going back to Earthbound. If you're like super over level and walk up to them and hit them in the field,
They
you
just
can just
melt, right?
instant. Yep, they just melt. You only get one job proficiency point, but you get your normal, or you get a nominal amount of golden stuff. You might have got like 50 gold from the battle. You'll get like 20 from walking up and hitting them.
And
But
can you turn that off if you don't like it?
I do not believe so.
But you
One of
can
the
just not
things,
over level.
correct. You could also set the monster. One of the options is not having monsters on the field to kind of chase you. Because for the most part, if they're a higher level than you, you just can't walk by them. And they sit there, they'll turn and come towards you. Although as I've gotten higher level and going back to some of the lower levels, they'll run away from you. And like if they're running, you can whack them. You know it's gonna not start a battle. It's just gonna give you the nominal stuff right away. So that's a kind of handy thing. What was I thinking of? The jobs. But it's a good game. Like I almost everybody's given it like 4 out of 5. I've seen places give it higher. RPG fan, of course, they're a fan of RPGs over there. It's a 95 for them.
I
But
thought
Dalinar.
the RPG site review was kind of interesting,
Oh, I didn't read that one.
because the basic complaint from them was everything is a little too streamlined, and it's kind of sucked some of the energy out of it.
Well, yeah, and see, that's what Austin was saying. Everything's very fast, except for the story. They almost didn't streamline the story enough to make this a complete reimagining. He was like, he was just busting his head at sometimes, like, oh my God, I know the 2 hour story beat I'm gonna have to sit through next, and it's still 2 hours. Now, there's no grinding needed in between there, and all that other stuff is just kind of gone. You can equip two jobs at a time when you open the job system. So once you open the job system, you're doubling the number of jobs you can get to. So you want to get to those advanced levels and even
Now
the third tier jobs, that's faster.
you get experience in both of the jobs you have equipped, or just your
Yes, you do.
primary?
Yep, you get
Oh,
those proficiency points go to both.
that's quite nice.
But the what is it, the other side of that coin, this time in Dragon Quest, the original one, you would learn some skills and spells outside of the job system. Like Kiefer, when he hit level, 5, he'd learn Flame Slash just because he's Kiefer. It doesn't seem to be doing that in this one at all. And I've had friends that are like, listen, when you open that job system, number one thing you should not do is change everybody's job
Oh,
because you'll
because it
lose
changes
every
this.
skill, every
Yep.
spell.
Yep.
Yep. So maybe, I start off as Fisherman. So if I want to add Warrior to my guy, I should leave Fisherman as one of my two for a while until I start getting some skills and
Until you've
spells.
accrued back some of that stuff though,
Yeah, so
right?
somebody was mentioning, like, whatever you do not change both at once. Because
Makes
suddenly you
sense.
will have nothing
No
available
skills at
to you.
all. Yeah.
No skills.
You'd just be sitting there thwacking.
Yep.
Wait,
Oh,
not
no, not
thwacking,
even
because that's a spell.
thwacking. Attack, heal. That's it. So, I mean, it's great. It's great this is out again. I've kind of like already been like, ah, I'm going to go between this and keep going back to my Atelier games.
Yeah,
We've got
you've been playing a
Atelier.
lot of Atelier recently. Is there like a
I
backtrack
have
coming up?
Atelier April. We're going to try to do the entire Dusk series.
Ooh.
We already did the Dusk series. You're thinking Sorry,
mysterious.
this is mysterious. Yes,
Yeah.
mysterious because right before Dragon Quest 1 and 2 came out last year, I played Fierce in like a weekend. I think I got 16 hours in like 4 days, beat that game. I
Wow,
hear
you were
that.
efficient.
Yes, I was. And apparently it's a quick game, like under 20 hours, although most of the content is post-game. You're supposed to go around and do everything else because half the world, it's kind of an open world. I didn't even do half the world. There was a time limit that I was so worried about missing, and I beat the
Oh,
game with like
right, because
150
Fierce is
days
like
left,
the
so.
first year you have to rush
Yes.
through, and then if you're able to finish the first year, then there's no time limits after that.
Yeah, so I didn't. I just wanted to see credits because I'm like, okay, we're playing all these. I hear the other ones were better. So I did Leedy and Suella. Sue. That was amazing. I did that in January. That game was great. I can see why that was the third game in the series. It was pretty perfected for what they were trying to do. Loved their alchemy grid, playing Tetris with it. That was a lot of fun. And then, because I completely did these all in the wrong order, I'm finishing up Sophie now. And pretty good. I can see where this is game number one of the three that I'm playing. Definitely the first one. Definitely less of a narrative. Like, I'm just going, getting better. There's not some, like, big overall thing. Or I guess there is with
Plakta?
Plakta. Yeah, the A and the
Plakta?
C are backwards from what
Frick.
I keep saying. So, but I've enjoyed that. It is dragging towards the end. I thought I was getting near a boss that would kind of like end it, and then it was like, no, not really. And I'm like, oh. Then I looked
Surprise,
at the
not
how
end
long to beat, and
boss.
I'm like, no, that's another 10 hours. So I'll be splitting my time trying to finish that off and doing Dragon Quest VII at the same time for the next couple months. But I do want to get to Sophie 2 as well. So now that trilogy is a quadrology, right?
Yeah,
Quad quadrology.
quadrology.
Yep.
Oh yeah, because they
So
came back and did another one.
I don't, from all I hear from Sam, especially, Sam's like, oh my gosh, you gotta play Sophie 2. That is like the best. Well, assume it came out like 2 years ago. I'd hope it's way better than the ones from a decade ago. So yes, I'm looking forward to getting to that. I reviewed the Resiliriana one back in September, October, and almost all these people came into it because that was definitely a, hey, let's put everybody in there kind of game. So it's good getting to know. Apparently, it was good. Everybody's in there, not like Nelki, from what I hear. So,
Nelki was interesting.
it's on sale for $13. I think I'm going to pick that up. So, my Atelier April should cover five games that I've played all within a half a year. So, hopefully, I have a lot to say.
Nelki is the kind of game that it's pretty clear it was supposed to be a mobile game, and then they put it on consoles instead. So it has
Yep.
like all of the hallmarks of a gacha game, but no actual gacha.
Whereas that
So.
one, the Resiliriana one that came out, was a sequel to a gacha game, but not, I don't think they did very good with the marketing. Because even I, up until right when it came out, I was like, wait a minute, did they just make the gacha game? Is this an Octopath Zero thing? Like, they just took it and it's already shut down. But no, it's actually like right away they mentioned, like, oh, some big shit went down couple years ago or over in this area,
And
and
then that is the
so it is literally a sequel, and the people that were in the gacha game do come into the game at some point. You can have so many different people in the party, which is reminding me of Atelier Sophie. Like every couple hours somebody new is joining the party. I'm like, I don't need you. I don't need you. I already got this party. We're outfitted. We're good. But loving the Atelier. And again, Dragon Quest VII, if you've never played it, this is the way to go, I would say. If you can't get access to the Dragon Quest or the 3DS version. But again, I've heard people say, like, you know what, the 3DS version is probably still the definitive one. It has got all the content in it. It's got monster job classes. which are cool because if you master a monster job class, those spells and skills never leave your inventory. So then you can go be the warrior and still have access to all your slime stuff,
Oh,
skills,
that
have
is
that heal.
nice.
Yes. In the original game, it was a little maybe too forgiving. The PlayStation 1, every job skill and spell you learned never left.
Yeah.
So by the end of the game, you might be scrolling through 8 pages of
Yeah,
spells and
you had
skills. It's
so
a
many
bit much.
skills. Yeah, I remember that. I remember playing the 3DS game and being kind of vexed that it wasn't like that. But I'd kind of forgotten how annoying that was too.
Yes. No, and you know, I was annoyed. I was like, what the heck? And then when I realized you could get certain ones from the job or the monster classes, I still have memories of being an iron turtle all the time. That was what it was called. I'm sure it's got a
Yeah,
funny name better now, but
now that
iron
you've
turtle
said
gave
that,
you
I'm like, yeah,
the
strong memories of
increase,
that.
and that's the one that the increase spell was like the second or third one down in that. So I made everybody an iron turtle at some point just to get the one that raises everybody's defense, and then everybody had access to that the rest of the way. So that was a good thing to have in boss battles, especially like
Oh
just anybody at
yeah.
any time would have that.
It's a Dragon Quest game. Buffing actually matters.
So, you know, that'll be different. It'll be, I guess, a little bit more strategic, but everything seems pretty easy. I after auto going through a boss that I've had problems with in other versions, I've turned up the difficulty and tried not to auto battle anymore
Yeah,
myself, just to try to get a little bit more out of it.
I was watching
Be a little more present.
the Twitch stream for RPG Fan yesterday, and he was playing the boss where the guy gets temporarily taken over and turned into a monster, and you're like tasked to rescue him by his girlfriend. And I remember that boss being like, it was really sort of a check on whether you've been paying attention to the rest of the game. And he like blew through that, completely blew through it. And he was even like, that was way easier than I remember it being. So I don't hate that. I think that
Oh, neither do I. I'm not somebody that plays games on difficult.
and this is gonna be my third time playing it, because I played and
Yes.
finished it on the PlayStation, I played and finished it on the 3DS, and so it's like I've been here before. This is a road well traveled. I just want to see how the remake handles all this stuff. It sounds pretty nifty. I do like all of the quality of life changes. Things that most of the reviews were complaining about. I'm like, yeah, this sounds like a feature, not a bug. So I'm jazzed. But here is the dilemma that I have. Okay. So last year, when Pokemon Z to A came out, I got a Switch 2. And I'm like, I'm getting a Switch 2 because I want to play Pokemon Z to A. And because I really liked Pokemon Arceus. I played the heck out of that. I actually think if I didn't completely finish the Pokédex, I got very close to it, which I almost never do. I think the only other game that I did finish the Pokédex for is like Scarlet and Violet. That was mostly because Chris helped me a
Oh,
lot.
Andy, I'm right there. Like I couldn't tell you if I ever did it outside of the Game Boy Advance until Scarlet and Violet, and that's 'cause my son and I played it together. You're right.
Yeah, no, it was a, if you're gonna finish a Pokédex, like 100%, that's the one to do. Especially if you're playing side by side with a buddy, because there's just so many easy like trades you can do back and forth that are beneficial to both of the teams. And like the might of the ham sandwich. All praise the ham sandwich. All praise the ham sandwich. So I get the Switch 2 and it has Pokemon Z to A, and I'm like, cool, but I'm pretty close to finishing Final Fantasy Tactics. So before I play Pokemon, I'm gonna finish Final Fantasy Tactics. And then Hyrule Warriors came out, and it's like, well, I've really been looking forward to this. I totally loved Age of Calamity. But that one wasn't canon. This one's canon. I'm really curious to see where this goes. I've loved all of the videos for it. So I'm gonna play Age of Calamity. And then Dragon Quest III went on sale, like crazy sale on the eShop. like 55% off or something like that. So I grabbed that, and then Dragon Quest 1 and 2 came out, and not long after it came out, it went on sale. I'm like, no, I'm not going to buy this. I'm going to hold myself off. But all of a sudden, I went from not having a Switch 2 to having a 6-game backlog on the Switch 2. So I really want to play Dragon Quest 7, but I have like half a dozen other games that I probably should play before it because I already own them.
This is the annoyance because not only did I have do I still have my Christmas games that I haven't touched, but then this Dragon Quest comes out, and then Monster Hunter Stories 3 comes out next month, and then Amazon slash Woot has been just trying to get rid of their Christmas warehouse, it seems, because all sorts of RPGs have hit, well, not just RPGs,
A
just
lot
all
of
sort
games.
a lot of games have hit rock bottom prices. Like
This is, I've had to like really resist buying at least a few of these.
Sonic and Shadow Generations hit $20, and I went ahead and picked that up because I hadn't picked it up, and then Tales of Graces F for the PS5 was 15.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, some of the deals have been cray. So it's kind of a wild time right now. It's like every video game is cheap. And I'm just resisting the urge to buy them all.
I just bought the entire Atelier Arlen series, which I never played. So, hey, there's another three games for
Yay! I love
under
Arland.
$40.
And technically, there's more Arland games than the original trilogy now,
Yeah, there's
because
the.
Lulua is an Arland game.
Yeah, and you know what? Talking about play games in order, I reviewed that way back in 2018. So, without having played any of the others, like,
I
whatever.
mean, I do appreciate that you can play Lulua without actually playing any of the other games. I do think that's pretty cool. Right, train of thought. The other thing that I've been playing besides lament my backlog and resist buying all the games is I've been playing Gems of War. And I've talked about this before, so if you're a longtime podcast listener, this is just going to be a refresher. But I know we've had at least a few new listeners lately, just based off of the fact that we're getting feedback from new people. So here is the very TLDR version of what has happened since the original Puzzle Quest 1 came out. Puzzle Quest 1 came out, it was way more successful, I think, than they ever expected it to be. And then there was a schism among the team about what to do next. So a third of the team went on to do Puzzle Quest 2, Puzzle Quest Galactrix, blah, 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 down the line. A third of the team took off and did a Puzzle Quest style game. But the game mechanics were like a slide puzzle instead of swapping two gems back and forth. And then a third of them left and they made Gems of War, which is a games as a service persistent online game where you're doing all of the puzzle quest things, except there's like an ongoing story arc between the various kingdoms. You can join a guild and do like large world events every week. There's individual stuff to do, there's team stuff to do, there's PvP. I started playing this game on console originally, but the console versions are detached from the PC and iOS version. So I ended up having to restart on the PC and I kind of slow rolled my way to level 1000. And then I was like, all right, I'm gonna see what it is like playing in an actual like serious business guild. Like, is this something that I'm actually gonna be interested in? Is this something that I'm gonna be able to sustain? I'm still in that same guild. I have a lot of fun with them. And it's a great game. I'm playing it on stream right now if you're watching us live at twitch.tv/rpgamer. So when I'm not playing Hyrule Warriors, Age of Imprisonment, right? Yes.
Imprisonment, yes.
Age of Imprisonment, I'm probably playing Gems of War. It is very addictive, fair warning. But yes, I have been putting a lot of time into Hyrule Warriors, and this is going to come up in the feedback as well. I am through the main story. I'm trying to think of how to describe this without being spoilery, even though I feel like most of the stuff in this game isn't spoilery at all because it's all just a long drawn out prequel to Tears of the Kingdom. So
If you've played Tears of the Kingdom, you've already spoiled.
yes, and so I'm like trying to ride that line of giving enough information that people know what I'm talking about without maybe spoiling things, even though you probably can't be spoiled on this.
Though,
So
funnily enough, there are a couple of things in the ending that, if you haven't played, you won't know what that is.
yeah, so I did not know what was going to happen to the king because I have played neither Breath of the Wild nor Tears of the Kingdom. So for me, that was like, oh, that was like the gasp out loud moment of when I realized what was going to happen there. So that was so well done if you are like me and you haven't actually played either of those games. So that was very nifty. Discovering who the mysterious construct was sort of fascinating because
I knew it was going to be something like that, though.
yeah, and it's interesting because as soon as they sort of unveiled who the mysterious construct was, I actually like r immediately ran to YouTube and rewatched the opening video to see if I could see the thing. And it's there. It's totally there. I was so impressed. I was just like, no, that's just going to be a detail that they leave out and they'll just like cram it in later and we'll see like a new version of the video. And it's like, nope, it's just like straight up there. And unless you know it, you're not going to see it.
And that's what the ending is like too, by the way.
Right. And I'm sure that's what they're relying on. So that was very cool. I liked that. And I'm through the main game. There is a huge post game for this. And I'm slightly confused about what's happening in this post game. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the ending. So if you don't want to be spoiled about the ending, this is your time to turn off the podcast. I'm going to give you like a 10 second count. So one. All right. So during the ending, everybody's talking about the fact that, well, we can't change the future. So you're going to have to destroy all of the records that you've made, right? And then the end game, you're running around creating all of those records. So I'm really confused what's happening right now. And
I didn't think about it too hard.
yeah, and so I'm kind of confused because the end game is essentially, all right, run around and 100% everything on the map, and as you do that, you will complete another chapter in her book. And once you've completed all 10 chapters, that's the true ending, or that's where you get like a little bit more information to feed you into whatever the next Hyrule Warriors is going to be. And so I'm just like, I'm a little confused what's happening here, but I'm going to roll with it. So I'm at 3 out of 10 books right now, and I'm having a ton of fun doing this stuff. I did not focus enough during the main game on requests. So this stuff is not a slog for me, but I am probably going to run out of new things to do before I run out of requests to do. So
Okay.
I will have to be repeating levels more than I have been because I will have no choice but to repeat levels at some point. So that is a bit of a bummer. I do feel like not pushing you a little bit more towards those was kind of a meh design choice, but I mean that's on me as much as anything else. Maybe they did and I just didn't notice. So definitely, truly love that game. Had an absolute blast with it. Have recommended it to several people now. So go play Hyrule Warriors if you like the Warrior series.
Yep, highly
They're my favorite
recommended.
Zeldas.
Yeah. So we're gonna jump into feedback this week because Zelda is very relevant to our feedback. So last week, when I wasn't here, the question was, did you start a game series with one of its weakest games? For example, EZ3, Final Fantasy II, etc., etc. And how did it affect your perception of the series? So Strawberry Eggs writes in and says, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles was not only my first Final Fantasy game, it was the first Square Enix game I ever played. I knew that the mainline series was very different from Crystal Chronicles, so I set my expectations accordingly. I really enjoyed the game regardless of its oddities. It also introduced me to the wild world of Square Enix music and is still one of my all-time favorite game OSTs. Bucket
Oh,
Party is
cool.
awesome.
Well, it sounded like you she had a good experience.
Yeah. So there's a lot of caveats in there, but yes, I feel like if you go in, and but I'm kind of picking up what she's putting down, right? Because Crystal Chronicles is, it's not a bad game, but it's also not a good Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, not a good representation of the series at
Yeah,
all.
that's an excellent way of putting it. So, Gwalengu writes in and says, even though Suikoden 3 isn't really the black sheep anymore, it was when I played it before Suikoden 4. My mom bought it for me on a whim, and I was fairly new to RPGs, but the narrative really pulled me in. I had no context for how clunky the battle system was, but I knew the fanfare music was fantastic. I didn't understand any of the references to previous games at all, but it did make me go back to play Suikoden 1. Needless to say, I was very intrigued by Luke's presence in it and picked up on the Suiko 3 references in reverse. Then I became obsessed with looking in game stores for used copies of Suikoden 2. I wouldn't play the game until my friend bought it for me off of eBay early in college. It lived up to the hype, and I was happy. At some point, I am going to have to play a Suikoden game. I played a little bit of the first one when Stom, who was the head of news way back when I was hired in January of 2000, he sent me a half a dozen games to play. That was one of them. Played a couple of hours, wasn't particularly feeling it, sent it back. The remake, I'm sure, is going to go on super sale at some point, and then I will be picking it up and playing that. And so Matt and I also jumped into the feedback. And so, relevant to the now playing section, I started with the first Hyrule Warriors game. Does that count? The first Hyrule Warrior game, it's fine. It's fine. But I didn't really enjoy it. And I didn't really enjoy the second Hyrule Warrior game either. I found that both of them just could not hold my attention through the entire game. And I think I bought both versions of the second Hyrule Warriors game and finished neither of them. Now, I did, between the two of those, play Fire Emblem Warriors, and that was awesome. That was like the hook into the Warriors series for me. At that point, I was like, yes, I like Warriors games. I just don't like the Hyrule Warriors games, which makes me wonder, what the hell was I thinking when I bought the third Hyrule Warriors game? Like, why did I think that that was going to be different? It was ended up being a good choice because I really liked it, but I'm just like sitting here going, why did I buy that game?
Because you're going to make yourself like it, damn it.
Something
There's
like
enough
that.
promise there in the first two, I guess.
All right. And Matt, you had an answer to this as well.
So that my joking answer was, what if I said one of the Neptunia games? No. Those are probably excluded because they're all weak, right? Yeah. No, I started with a pair of twos back on the NES. I played Zelda 2 and Castlevania 2 before I played anything else in the series, and I really like both of them. We've got our delayed RPG backtrack on Wednesday talking about Zelda's 40th anniversary. So we'll be talking a lot more Zelda coming up. You can hear us before the next RPG cast. There should be an RPG backtrack dropping on Zelda stuff. And yeah, I think there'll be a couple of us that say that they really liked Zelda 2. I loved it. It's got more of the RPG elements and Castlevania 2. I was talking before the show, I would sit down, I'm a teenager and early teens and be like, oh, what? I got absolutely nothing to do this Saturday, and my sister's got a swim meet, and no one's gonna be home. Hey, I got 5, 6, 7 hours. I can just sit and play Castlevania, and I'd go all the way through and beat Castlevania 2. I really enjoyed the heck out of that game. Now, the question said, how did that affect the perception of the series? I've never really gone on and played more than probably two or three more Zelda or Castlevania mainline titles. I didn't get the feels from the other ones that I did from these. So, I would pretty sure that both of these would be listed among the weakest of the series by series fans of those, but I'm kind of the opposite. Like, I liked those because they were different, not because I think they were weak. They were different, and it just, yeah. I pause. You've never done much Zelda either, right?
So I do 2D Zelda.
Okay, and I loved the Super Nintendo one. It did get me to play that one, but I've really not played, other than the Warriors, any other Zeldas than going forward. Or I did Majora's Mask, yes,
Yeah,
but.
so I played Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time back when they were on the Super Nintendo, and I finished both of them. I didn't particularly enjoy either of them. And I tried to play both again on the 3DS, and I don't remember if I finished both of them. I definitely didn't finish Majora's Mask. I was just not having fun with that, so I was like, nope, I'm done with this, thank you. But yeah, other than that, it's like I tried playing Skyward Sword a little bit with Chris, and meh. And yeah, just watched my ex play Twilight Princess because I wasn't that interested in playing it myself. And so yeah, 3D Zeldas are just not my jam. I played the what was the one that was Link's Awakening. I played Link's Awakening remake because that was really fun. And yeah, that's kind of been it. It's 2D or bust. 2D Warriors or bust.
And
Agreed.
I had answered this question last week with Ys 3 because that was my first Ys game, and I thought it was terrible, not knowing that that was an outlier.
All right, so here is our question of the week, and it comes with a little challenge. So here is the question: your favorite match three game, and if you're going to come back to me and say, well, I haven't played a match three game, your task this week is to try one. So let us know. You can head over to rpgamer.com, find the latest podcast show thread, drop your reply in there. Otherwise, you can go to rpgamer.com/discord, join us in the Discord. There is a channel there called Podcasts. You can drop your feedback there. Or if you're watching on YouTube, hi, YouTube people. We have been getting a little bit of feedback over there, so we have been trying to make the effort to check there more regularly. Thank you for the couple of people that stopped into the Discord and said, hey, I've been leaving feedback on the YouTube channel, but it doesn't seem like it's making it to the show. What's up? It's like, thank you. That was actually a good call out for us. We appreciated that. So let us know about your fave match three game or which match three game that you tried. All right. And now it's time for the news.
Beep, 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 beep,
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
beep, 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 beep,
Beep,
beep,
boop, beep,
So
boop.
we have our Best of 2025 awards out now.
Yes. So if you are newer to RB Gamer or newer to the podcast, one thing that you may not be aware of is we do not do our end of the year awards at the end of the year. Because at this point, there is almost always a game that comes out like around Black Friday or the first week of December. And we don't really think it's fair to lump in what happened in December of last year into the awards that start getting like discussed and put together in November, because there's just too long of a gap there. We find that psychologically, people just remember January, February better than they remember November, December, which kind of makes sense because November, December, particularly if you're American, you're busy because you have like two back-to-back holidays that are less than a month apart. So we do our awards in mid-January so that everybody at least has a couple of weeks to put into whatever game that they are going to finish out 2025 with, and then they can vote most fairly on everything that came out within the calendar year. So there is going to be an accompanying podcast to go with this. We do tend to record that near the end of February, particularly this year, because of the way that Chris's on-call is going to be working, and he had a work trip that got canceled and then rescheduled, and we have taxes to do because our taxes are complicated. So it will definitely be right near the end of February, if it might even sneak into the start of March. But cross your fingers, it will indeed be February. And in addition to the Best of 2025 awards, there was a Nintendo Direct this week.
Partner Direct.
Yeah, thank you.
Big difference there. Partner Direct is just
Third-party games. Yep.
third party stuff. Lots of RPGs previously released on other consoles come into Switch and Switch 2.
Oh, yeah.
Um, makes me happy.
f first one being Digimon Story Time Stranger.
Is that going to be Switch 2? Or just.
Says Switch and Switch 2 in July.
Awesome. Okay.
So I've heard decent things about that game.
A lot of people seem to like this when they played it, so I'm optimistic.
Let's see, we have a link to our review. Oh, they gave it, Ezra gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
Nope.
I guess average. But your mileage may vary there. Tales of Arise is coming to Switch 2 in May. This was, I think it was it Okay, it was PlayStation and Xbox and PC. So for some reason I thought it was a PS5 exclusive, but and this version is gonna have the DLC with it too.
Nice.
So you can look forward to that. I'm blazing through these, but if there's any specifically you want to talk about, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is coming to Switch 2 in June.
I'm curious how well this is going to run. I'm cautiously excited. I think I would probably still end up playing it on PS5 because that's where I played the first one, and there's carryover, right? Yeah, so I think I'm kind of locked into PS5 for this one at least.
I am hoping that Square is being port happy with the first two games right now because they want you to get caught up because they're getting ready to announce something for the third game.
Okay.
Because this one is going to have the boost mechanics that they just put into the older versions and Switch 2 version of remake.
So, Kelly, you're
Yes.
telling me you use the boost to get through?
Not the first time through. Are you saying I gained nothing? I did not win.
I love how many memes that we are torturing with this conversation.
But no, like, as soon as they announce a release date for part three, I want to play through the first two parts again, and I'll probably use the boost for some of the harder fights just so that I'm not tearing my hair out. I'm also curious if the boost will work on some of the optional stuff that I couldn't beat.
I played on like the easy mode when I played the first game where everything stopped and I did it more on the menus versus like an active combat because that was just going to be too hard on my wrists. And I remember someone coming into the Twitch chat and making fun of me, and that was just hilarious.
Oh, screw that person for making fun of you.
Oh no, I mean I don't get hurt by that anymore.
Oh.
Just it actually legitimately makes me laugh. It entertains me so much.
I mean, I can't complain because I used to give when I was when we first started dating, I gave Vaughn crap for using a Game Shark, and then I ended up doing it too just because I was tired of grinding in RPGs.
Oh, Kells, we're learning all your deep, dark secrets today.
And now they just sell that crap as DLC, so somehow that's worse.
Or, geez, for Dragon Quest VII Reimagined, it's built in. It's right there in the menu. Boost
Yeah.
experience? Sure.
But moving on, we've also got a bunch of Bethesda stuff coming out to Switch 2.
Ooh, like.
Fallout 4 and The Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion Remastered.
Nice. Do people like these games? This is all Western RPG stuff, so I don't follow it at all.
I guess people liked Oblivion. I'm not sure about Fallout 4.
Okay.
I always thought it was New Vegas was the beloved one.
I was going to say I've never played one, but yes, New Vegas, I hear all the time. New Vegas, New Vegas.
That was the one that Max Storm. Oh no, wait. Which was the Fallout game that Max Storm gave a lower review to? And originally, people were all up in arms, and there was like a zillion angry threads about it on like NeoGAF and stuff like that. And then within a year, everybody was like, "Oh crap, Mac was right."
Sounds like
Is
four.
that four? Okay.
I'm just guessing. I have no idea.
Oh yeah, no, Sever and Mirror just confirmed for us in the chat that that was Fallout 4. Thank you, Alex. So, all
And then
right.
some somewhat newish games announced. Another Eden Begins.
I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, because I liked that mobile game. The only reason why I never finished it was because I just got distracted with other things.
I mean, my dilemma with Another Eden is that I didn't feel like the pull mechanics were super fair. So I bounced off of it pretty quickly.
Yeah. But it sounds like this is a legit RPG.
Yeah, and it's sort of very similar to Octopath Zero in design, where it's like we are taking all of the story content of this game and just like ripping the pay to play out of it. So I'm stoked for this. If for no other reason then, there is so many nods to the Chrono series in this, not only in terms of actual characters, like there's actual Chrono Cross characters in it, but the way that a lot of the sort of story and vibe and just overall way that this gives you character stories in the mobile game really reminded me of the way that Chrono Trigger worked. Or sorry, not Chrono Trigger, Chrono Cross worked.
Run across.
And so I've loved the vibe of this game, even though I didn't want to play it. And so now that it's coming and it's going to be the single player game that I don't have to throw like hundreds of dollars at, and I'm excited for this.
Me too. Moving on. The Adventures of Elliot, the Millennium Tales gets a June release date and a ton of new information about the game. So this is Squeenix's newest 2D HD game. This time they're using the engine for an action RPG. When does it come out? June 18th.
Did you play the
So
demo?
I did not.
I didn't because I felt like I didn't need to. Like, from all of the initial information and like the video teaser that they put out that was in the Nintendo Direct when it was first announced, and just watching people stream the demo, I was like, yeah, I'm sold on this, like 100%. This is a game that I'm going to play. So I'm tentatively saying that this is probably going to be my JRPG July game.
Cool.
That's my plan anyways.
Well, with my, the way I buy games at 50% off, this may be my JRPG game in
JRPG July
2027.
game for 2027? Yeah.
Which is why I played the demo for like an hour and a half, and I was like, wow, I haven't played a lot of games. I don't do a lot of action RPGs, but this was fun. I was liking it. I was enjoying it. But like you say, 2D Zelda, it kind of gave me a feeling of that. And I was like, oh, okay, like I'm never going to play this for a good year and a half, so I'm going to set it aside. But yes, check. Definitely on the
And
wish list.
I feel like everything that they showed off in the demo vibe to me like very similar to Nexomod Extinction, where you don't need to go off the beaten path, but if you do, exploration is very much rewarded.
Oh yeah, that's what I did. I ended up, I walked around the town for a while and then it told me to go somewhere down south and I just wandered until it told me I couldn't go places. It was an hour of that and that was
Yeah.
fun.
And like I said, when I was watching other people stream it, like that was a very common thing that was happening. Everybody wanted to just wander around and do stuff and just vibe in that world. And I think that that alone is such an interesting testament to how addictive that game is going to be when it actually hits. So, hype.
Hey, speaking of demos, Monster Hunter Stories 3 demo is now up.
The
And
Twisted Reflection.
progress carries over to the full version, and they do a really good, then the past two games, they did a really good job of like stopping it at a point where you're like, oh my God, I need to see what happens.
Oh, 100%. I'd never played a monster. I mean, I think I'd tried a couple Monster Hunter games. It was like, meh. When that first one came out, that demo on the 3DS, I don't know what prompted me to get it day one. And yes, when it ended, like right as you like look out over the valley or something like that, like I have that image in my head. I was like, ah, it's not out for another month.
No. I played the Monster Hunter Stories demo, and I remember thinking to myself, yeah, this is the kind of game that I'm going to want to play. And then I never did. Or if I played it, I played so little of it that it was
Didn't make
unmemorable.
a, yeah, and I played the first one, loved every minute of it. The second one, I got through maybe 3 hours and was like, oh, it's this again. And then when we covered it for RPG Backtrack, I made sure the month before I went through and did the whole game. I was like, okay, no, this was good. Making myself do it was better than, I was like, oh, I do like this. I thought, again, the simple combat, they did it, and it looks like they got it this time. The whole second game had a lot of double combat. You always had somebody join your party.
Oh,
Yeah,
interesting.
which then almost gave you a party of four because you got your monstie and your character, and then their monstie and their character. So
Right.
it felt a little bit like, oh, okay, now we've got some strategy going. Maybe one of the people hops on their monstie and starts doing that, but I leave the other two separate so one can be healing while the other one still attacks. I found the second one. I don't know. I love the first one the most just because, I don't know, it was new, it was different. But the second one, that's what got me eventually back into it. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. I'm good again. Let's do this. I love having a second character pretty much the whole
Yeah,
time. And from what I've seen, it looks like that again.
I almost wonder if I should skip the first game and go straight to the second game.
You probably should. I mean, the first game is okay, but the second game improved a lot of stuff. And I think the story in these games is wonderful.
On the flip side, I feel like I've totally ruined myself for Nexomon, the original Nexomon, because after playing Extinction, I don't want to go back and play the original base game.
I played the original base game, and while it didn't have the humor, it still held up to me.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I
Because
did it backwards too because,
I was so worried because it's like, it sounds like all of the quality life things that I like the best out of this game don't exist outside of Extinction.
I can't tell you that they do, but I mean, it's 10 hours, right? I mean, it's a short game.
This was exactly what I was going to say. The first game is like half the length of the second game, so it by the time that stuff would annoy you or wear out its welcome, you're already done
You're
anyway.
done.
Fair. Okay.
And you know what? Was it a robot that came around in this? Towards the second half, there was something that added a little humor.
Yeah, I think it
And you
was
could
the
tell that
robot.
they liked that, and so
They
that's
leaned
what
into
became
it
a.
so much harder. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. It was like, oh, we've received feedback that this was a good thing, so let's go full on into it in the next game.
Just go full freaking meta. Which, anytime an RPG does meta humor, I cannot get enough of that.
I'm so picky when it comes to fourth wall humor. Is this it has to be done in a way that entertains me, and not all fourth wall humor does. And I recognize that it is very like wildly selfish to put it that way, but it also happens to be true.
That first time your character holds a thing up in that game, and the cat goes, "What are you doing?"
Yes, when you're the Pokemon pose.
I laugh so hard. Anyway, moving on. We got a sequel to Tokyo Xanadu called Kyoto Xanadu
I'm
coming
pretty
out.
stoked for this.
I have not played the Xanadu series at all, but this one looked interesting.
Tokyo Xanadu EX is out on PC and Switch and either
Modern
PS4 or
consoles.
PS5. Yeah, modern consoles. So, it's pretty good. They my complaint, my forever complaint, and I'm kind of like gonna grouch about it until the end of time, is with the original Tokyo Xanadu, 80% of the way through the game, the localization becomes a translation. Like it is just like they ran out of time to finish the game. And there's spelling errors and there's like grammatical errors and punctuation errors and awkward sentences. And so it's just like you're 80% of the way through this game and you lose all momentum if you're picky about text like me. And I understand that I'm being anal retentive about this, but also this is what I do for a living now. I edit books. I can't fix your plot. I can't fix your comma splices. And so I recognize 100% that maybe this is a me problem, but I am also not the only person out there that gets really annoyed with bad translation. So there's my like annoyance rant about the original Tokyo Xanadu. EX actually does go back and fix that. Bless. Because that would have pissed me off if they didn't. So definitely get the EX version, whatever console you're going to play it on.
It dropped 25% on Amazon today. I got all excited because I got a Deku Deals announcement about it, and watching this made me put it, it made me bookmark the game. I was like, oh yeah, I've always meant to do that. And I see the eShop, it regularly goes 50% off or more. And I got a message today, and I was like, ooh, and then it was like, oh, it's the physical. But if you want the physical for like $30, I think that's what it is on Amazon today.
Yeah, at this point, my Deku deal stuff that I was watching, my list is just completely empty. So at some point, I need to take the time to just sit and go through Deku deals again and set everything back up properly
Yep.
to watch for
I
games
know,
that I
I've
care
bought
about.
talking about buying games and, filling up your what is it you said you got the backlog. That's what I've done over the past year and a half. So I don't have a lot. So the fact that I got an email I was like, ooh, it's been a while. And
Ooh,
okay,
novelty. Ooh, piece of candy.
actually it's the PlayStation 4 that dropped in price. See, I gotta set my preference there because I haven't done Deku as much. I gotta set it. No, I just want Switch
Yeah, I
for that
switched
one.
to using the L-Babbins interface for a while, and that's why I had let like all of my Deku deals just kind of fall off because I was using his tracker for all of that stuff. But he is also predominantly looking at Canadian. He has a US version, but yeah, he predominantly looks at Canadian prices, and that is relevant to my interests, but not necessarily relevant to everybody's interests. So I understand why people do tend toward Deku deals instead. But yeah, I need to just go through and figure out all the games that I haven't got for Switch One that I still want to play. And figure out what price I want those at, and then kind of go from there. So we'll see. I need a bigger backlog than I already have.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, of course. No, and I don't set it up right. My kids want to get the new Madden game for Switch 2, and I got it.
That's like tripping me out. A Madden game on the
Then
Switch
Madden's
2
back
just
on
feels
Switch.
weird. Feels weird. Does it not feel weird to you?
I mean, I can't, like, the only reason our PlayStation's plugged in because my kids are of the age that they want to play Madden every now and again.
Fair.
And other than that, like, I wouldn't use my PlayStation 4 anymore.
So
I've gone full on Switch over 7 hours.
my older nibbling just turned 10 last month, and he has sort of been indicating that he would like a PS5 as his next console. The thing is I don't think that he's really encapsulated that if he does that, he can't play Mario games anymore. And so this is probably 2026 is probably going to be the year that I buy them their next console because it's been 5 years. Although if Emerson keeps throwing controllers, I'm not going to buy them another console this year. This is a problem. He's five and he's all up in his feels. And so controllers get thrown a lot. But my rule, because I bought the console, is controllers are not allowed to be thrown. And so they've had their Switch taken away a couple of times. And they have broken like multiple controllers at this point. Because those things are just not sturdy. I mean,
I've only ever thrown a controller once in my life, and I was like 12.
I mean, I
And
don't throw controllers, but I have dropped my Switch controllers often enough that I have broken them. Like, let me tell you, my if they had something other than a Switch, if he was throwing a PS5 controller, I'd probably not be thrilled, but I would be considerably less upset because you're just not going to break a PS5 controller in the same way that you're going to bust a Joy-Con. So, but yeah, they are due for a console upgrade, and I can't decide between a Switch 2 or a PS5. I think I need to like sit down and have a conversation with them with Grayson about like, hey, you know, if I get you like a PS5, you can't play Mario anymore, right?
What do you
Well,
like trade in is sure.
no, but I mean, they're not going to make it more Mario games
Forever,
for
yeah,
the
you're not
Switch
gonna
One at this point. Like, why would they?
Okay. Yeah,
If they're
okay,
going to do
right.
another Mario game, it's going to be Switch 2. And is Galaxy 2 on Switch One?
It's switch one.
It is. Okay. I couldn't remember, but it's better on the Switch 2, I guess.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I can't
So, you
imagine
know,
what wouldn't be.
if they're going to get another Mario game for Christmas this year, that'll be Galaxy 2. And then, I mean, if it's not 2026, it'll be 2027. So, right, we were talking about
Tokyo
Granblue
Xanadu.
Fantasy Relink.
Where were we?
We were talking about Tokyo Xanadu. I closed the
Right.
tab. Now we're on Grand Blue Fantasy Relink.
Yes.
This is a enhanced port of the Grand Blue Fantasy Relink. This one is called Endless Ragnarok. I played this game last or a couple of years ago. It's not a bad game. This new one is going to have new story content following from the events of Relink. I think they added like free DLC stuff and this will be a more complete version. Looks like fun. If you missed it on the PS5, you can now play it on Switch too. Oh, I'm sorry, it's coming out for everything. So, yay.
Yay!
And
More games on more locations is always good.
I think that was our last Nintendo Direct story. Dosa Diva's One Last Meal to be served in April. Gonna come out on April 14th. What is this about? You're trying to defeat a rotten fast food empire.
Yeah, this is. I watched the video for this, and I'm like, this is going to be wacky, and it's going to be the kind of wacky that people are either going to love it and embrace it, and it's going to be like the thing that everybody is streaming for a week and a half, or everybody's going to hate it, and 7 or 8 years from now, we're going to have a Dosa Diva's revival of a cult classic. And everybody is going to declare that everybody was wrong initially. And I don't know which way it's going to go. But I feel like it's going to be one or the other. We'll see. We'll see if I'm right.
Moving on. Aegis Force, the Scorian War begins its Kickstarter campaign. This is a 2D HD game, inspired by titles such as Final Fantasy Tactics and Shining Force 2.
Yeah, and this is like if Triangle Strategy was made by an indie team.
What are these backgrounds with these
For better
characters?
or for worse. Yeah, so it's got a lot of mixels, which I think is an interesting choice. I'm also kind of really confused about this Kickstarter because they only asked for $2,500, and I don't
What?
know what $2,500 gets you.
Another sprite?
Like, are
Help us
they
have four party members.
And they're in the States, so like this isn't like the US dollar just goes, you know, way further in wherever they live.
This is our
I'm just
coffee goal. This is how much we
confused.
will spend on coffee over the next 2 years for our
Yeah,
team.
it's just this is baffling. So, spoilers, they have made their $2,500 goal.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
And if you want to just get the game, that is $25, which does that seem kind of high to anybody else? Anyways, if you want it was $20 as an early bird, so
Oh, yeah.
that's the kind of price that I was expecting. If you want to go in for all in on this, there is the Hero of Ainua tier. That's $500. And that gets you. Oh, hang on. I have to click into that reward to actually get all of the details for it. You get a digital copy of the game, your name listed as a backer, a digital wallpaper, a digital wall book, a digital OST, 3-day early access to final game release, two-sided mini poster, art card set, sticker sheet, physical art book, name your own in-game book with you as the author, exclusive beta access to our Discord, a t-shirt. Does You are able to design a non-playable character with the team and design an enemy type with the team. And you get a personalized thank you video from the development team.
You're still talking about Aegis Force, right? Okay, so here's something interesting. Please tell me where Spanish Fork, Utah is.
I have never heard of that town.
Okay, so when you click I went to about the creator here in Kickstarter, and it's got their website, Desert D Secret? D Circuit? Oh my, I have no idea. D-Serret Games. Okay, Deseret Games, but it's listed as Spanish Fork, Utah. And I clicked on Spanish Fork, Utah, thinking it'd take me to like Google Maps. No. It took me to Kickstarters from Spanish Fork, Utah. There are 84 projects tagged as Spanish Forks, Utah. Spanish Fork. What the heck is going on in Spanish Fork, Utah?
It's a small part of, it's like
The
a
suburb
suburb in
of.
Provo
Well,
of
they've had a
40,000
whole.
people.
They've generated quite a few Kickstarters apparently over the years.
Fascinating.
That was just a weird. Okay, I did not know you could search by specific cities.
We're learning things.
Look at that. Carry on.
All right. So yes, their Kickstarter is very much Triangle Strategy, HD 2D. They have met their goal already, and their proposed release date is, let me make sure that I get this. Their proposed release date is August of this year.
Oh my.
So I guess this is mostly done and this is
I was gonna say
advertising.
you'd
I don't
have to
know.
be, right?
Yeah, but hey,
Yeah.
wishing them the
They
best.
were able to put that funded in 12 hours sticker on there.
Yay!
Look at how fast we got
I
coffee
mean,
money.
I will say in terms of like manipulating the algo, that is a pretty brilliant thing to do. So more power to them for making it work. All right. What's next, Kels?
Pixel art turn-based RPG Mythic Yi announced. I think that's how you say that.
Yee.
Eyi.
Yee.
This is another 2D HD game and is an
Oh yeah, it
adaptation
is. Wow.
of the myth Yi shoots down the nine suns, so Chinese mythology.
Huh. It looks nice.
It looks better than that last game.
They're not asking
Oh,
for
so
money there.
mean.
Sorry,
Ouch.
I'm just being honest.
No,
This is what
that's
happens when you
fair.
don't live in Spanish Fork, Utah.
Well, and I think that the people that are developing this have
Equalizer.
done other stuff.
Oh
It's
yeah.
like
Oh.
Equalizer's first game. But I
But
feel
people, yeah, I
like
was gonna
I
say they got
remember
nothing else on
seeing
Steam.
something that I was reading about where this team was like a bunch of people that had quite a lot of game development experience.
Gonna
Now, the
say this
one
doesn't look like
downside
baby's
of this
first game,
Mythic
no.
Yi, and we don't call this out in the story because it's kind of editorializing. This game does use generative AI. So, if that's not your bag, this is a game to avoid.
I guess it depends on how it's used, but that's a rabbit hole I don't want to get into.
Yeah,
Oh, those
they
battle actually,
animations are really nice. I'm like, what?
yeah.
There's quite a few frames of animation. Guys drinking a bottle and spitting fire on stuff. That's some.
Their Gen AI content disclosure on Steam says we use J AI generated images as a basis for some images on the store page, making manual modifications. So they've used generative AI for marketing. They don't say if they use it in the game or not. But for some people, that's enough to be like, no, thank you.
Battle system even seems like there's unlock, like Octopath. I
Yes.
mean, build is being inspired by Octopath, but yeah, the battle system looks right like it. Yeah, you can, heck, even on their YouTube thing, you can see like five little question marks, like, yeah, what are they weak to? There you go.
So is this inspired or is this stolen homework?
Chinese Octopath.
I
Yi
hate putting it
plays.
like that.
Yi.
That
Ye,
sounds really
it's ye old Octopath. There you go. Mythic ye old Octopath.
Thanks, I hate it. All
All
right,
right.
moving on.
So one game I haven't heard of changed its name. Remore Infested Kingdom is now called Memolith Forsaken by Light.
Of course it is.
Remores is twigging something in the back of my mind. Tweaking something in the back of my mind. I feel like I might have been on a show where we talked about this game in the past. So,
It's in
oh,
Steam
this
Early
is the whole
Access.
article.
Yeah,
They changed their name, the end.
it's in Steam Early Access right now. It looks like a tactical RPG. So there we go. Now you know. Change your bookmarks, or it should change by itself. Dread Delusion is coming to consoles this spring.
This is a game that was previously PC only, right? No, this was, yeah.
Yes.
So it's
Going to
heading
everything.
over to everything. What, PS4, PS5, Xbox, S and X, Switch 2?
Xbox One and
Yeah,
Switch 2.
Xbox One, XS. Okay, cool.
Oh, Ryan
It's
Costa reviewed it and gave it a 3.5.
A low poly Souls-like that I think is aping Kingsfield in a way.
Oh, okay.
Looks very
Kingsfield.
PS1.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, there's gonna be an
Ouch.
audience for this. It's not me, but that's okay.
I am just so amused that that style has made a comeback.
It's the style where people that have the disposable income grew up on it.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at in the
Well,
dev cycle. And damn, that makes me feel old.
it's what
God,
people
this is
think
what drove me to
PS.
Game Boy.
Yeah.
It
It's what people think
was not for
PS1
me.
games looked like, and they looked 100 times worse.
Wait, did we?
Did I skip a story?
No. The article says check out Ryan Costa's review, but this was definitely a review by Zach Webster.
Oh. Oopsie. Alex. Wait, no. Did Alex write that or did someone else write that? I thought I saw
Alex wrote
Alex's
that.
byline. Alex.
I mean, he had like what a 50% chance he was right, since
Totally.
Ryan.
No,
I
that's pretty
was gonna
fair.
say, Ryan Costa, yeah, that's probably like the default, just paste. There's a sentence somewhere he's got in a document. Check out Ryan Costa's review.
Yeah.
And Dalendar has 3 games that he's playing for review right now. That's
Yeah,
the best part, is like he just took a third game for review.
probably him and Sam are about 70%.
Yep. So, all right, Reptilian Rising.
This looks like a
Oh, that's scary.
tactical RPG.
Yes. Coming to PC and Switch.
Seeing a timeline under siege by the reptilian menace. So, fighting dinosaurs. Oh, and laser raptors. Huh. When is this coming up? February 18th for
Yeah.
PC and Switch.
So you have 11 days as of this recording to be very excited for a demo that is coming. So pop by Steam beginning February 18th, where you can check out a game demo. So yeah, this is very sort of like tabletop style tactical RPG. Think like Mario Rabbids or what's the sci-fi one that everybody likes? And you can stand in front of the thing and shoot it in the head and miss. XCOM! Thank you, Hair
Oh,
Frog.
yes, XCOM, yep.
I knew someone would know it from that description. I just could not remember the name. So yeah, this looks a lot like XCOM,
Yeah.
except people look like actual like minifigs that sit on a tabletop. So that's kind of cool. And we have some release dates.
Baladins is coming to PlayStation and Switch this month. This looks very Paper Mario, and I'm kind of excited for it. I think I wishlisted it.
There was another Paper Mario style game that came out last week that everybody was going gaga over.
Yeah, it was something like Ever After.
Yeah.
Wait, combat free. What? Combat free game places choices.
Yeah.
All right.
So rather than like doing like attacks and stuff, you roll dice during
Yeah.
combat
Got it.
to figure out outcomes.
Also,
And
there's a kid.
unlike certain games, the dice rolls don't look like total bullshit.
Also, there's a kitty cat in the party.
This is
Well,
true.
there you go.
Cats make every game better.
Hey, did you know that they announced a cat character for Overwatch this week, and
What?
somehow I didn't know about it until 5 minutes ago?
Did you know that they have dropped the two off of Overwatch 2 and now it's just called Overwatch?
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
They like just slid that out very casually. Didn't announce it, just did it.
It just amuses me because Overwatch was so ubiquitous when it came out, and then the sequel just screwed up everything, and now nobody cares. But I might have to install it again when that cat comes
So
out.
that you could play the cat girl?
Yes. Yeah, it's a jetpack cat.
Jetpack cat.
It is literally a house cat with a jetpack. It's a support character. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, you bringing up cats made me think that. Sovereign Syndicate is available on PlayStation and Xbox consoles for $20. What was this about? Oh, this was kind of a Disco Elysium with card battles and 20s style.
Yeah, this came out in 2024 when everything was a card battler.
Yeah.
It
Well,
was
now you
the
can.
era.
Well, now you can play it on your PlayStation. It was
Awesome.
PC only at first, and Michael B Baker reviewed it. So, if you're curious about
So he
Crimson
did a deep
Kate,
look for it.
oh, he did a deep look, so he didn't finish
And
it.
why, I feel like there was a reason why he stopped playing this.
Maybe he had a hard bug or a difficulty cliff.
No, he might have been playing an early build that wasn't
Oh, okay.
100% done. So he put in a comment about a month after he did the deep look. I have just finished this game. The delay was due to my laptop being only on the right side of the PC requirements, slowing everything down. While the intertwining plots didn't quite intersect the way that I expected them to, the overall plot was well managed with side material, optional paths towards the end, and plenty of hooks for further material in the same universe. I'm interested in seeing where the series goes from here if it does happen to continue, and hopefully I'll have a more capable computer to run it on by then. So, sounds like potentially interesting, and if you get in now, you might have an interesting lore basis for future titles.
Yay. Crimson Capes is releasing on Steam next week. This is a 2D fantasy Souls-like with like really smooth and pixel art animation. Like think Prince of Persia.
Ooh.
And it's going to be $15 with a 10% launch discount. We don't seem
Alrighty.
that excited, so moving on. Sharon the
Well, he has a
Wanderer.
crimson cape. I mean, truth in advertising.
Yeah. Sharon the Wanderer is the mystery dungeon of Serpentcoil Island has been released on mobile, and my God, that overlay looks like crap.
Yeah, wow. Okay, play this on console the way God intended.
I'm annoyed because I actually would like to play this on iOS. However, this overlay is awful.
I would imagine that you would be able to like hide it if you're playing with a
So,
controller.
I don't remember seeing
Does it have
controller
controller support?
support on the iOS page.
Oh.
Unless I have to look on at it from the phone, from on my iOS device. So, yeah, I don't see anything in here about controller support.
Sorry, I know I'm being terribly blunt today. I just saw that screenshot and it
No,
oomped.
I think we are both with you, Kels. It is
I think there are emulators that do a whole of a lot better with
Yeah.
got a friend who's played through all the Dragon Quests on emulators because he lives at a remote island in the middle of nowhere, Japan, and he can't get a damn thing anymore there. And yeah, like he shares screenshots with us, and they look better than that.
It reminds me of the first Final Fantasy Dimensions from like 15 years ago.
Oh yeah.
All right. We've trashed it enough. Carrying on. Caves of Cood.
Coming to Switch on February 16th. This
Huzzah!
looks like a very, very old PC game.
Yeah. So this
Sign
is not my
Oh.
jam, but I know there's a lot of people that I chat with on Blue Sky and Discord and stuff that have been very excited for this to come out on Switch.
Oh
So.
geez. Yeah, this I mean, it's a little bit nicer than Commodore 64. Maybe it's Commodore 128.
Yeah. I take it you had played Gateway to Apshai on your Commodore
Yes.
back in the day. Looks just like it.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, this is better than that, but that's what I'm thinking. This is the Apshi game. So maybe.
Because I tried to play that when I was five, and I had no idea what I was doing.
I used to play it with a friend, and one of us would be on one side of the keyboard and one on the other. Someone was moving, someone was shooting or slashing hacking, but yeah, this gives that vibes.
After it took 30 minutes to boot up.
Well, there's that.
Star Sand Island is coming to early access next week. This is a game that sees players returning to their relaxing childhood home island for personal healing. You build and decorate and fish, basically a cozy game.
Oh, that is. And it's got the Harvest Moon square crop lands and. Wait, what the heck was that? Why is that dog driving the scooter?
Why shouldn't the dog be driving the scooter?
With other dogs piled behind it, is there a human on that? Oh no, there's a dog driving and the raccoon and the bird and is it a beaver and the
Buddy,
cat are all stacked on top.
you're
Yep,
starting
cool.
to sound a little speciesist.
Yeah, that's a lot of
Dogs can drive
animals.
too.
That is a lot of animals piled on there. Listen, that is just not safe highway safety. They're not
Oh,
belted
yeah.
in.
I'm
Not one
sure
of them
it's
has
about
a helmet on.
safety, Matt.
Not one has a helmet. Like, come on.
Like, I'm trying to pause the video and catch what all is up there. I see a raccoon,
Oh, yeah. If
another
you go
dog,
farther,
parrot.
I think it's a beaver on the bottom.
Yeah.
Then
It
it's
was either.
raccoon, dog, parrot, and there's even like a little chick.
Yeah. See,
Some little yellow bird there.
I couldn't tell if it was a beaver or a capybara.
Yeah, it could be a capybara. I can't see the bottom one. He's got too much piled on top of him.
Either way, this game looks cute.
It's.
$40 for early access. How long is it planning on being in early access?
Listen, man, they just need one little. Oh! It has combat. There we go. I'm sold. That's what I need in a cozy game. I need the Rune Factory, not the Harvest Moon. Listen, it can be as little combat as Stardew Valley. Like, it can be an afterthought, and I'm there. Wow. Okay. This one's going on the Steam list. Although, wait a minute. Oh, yep. Switch 2 in the summer. Forget it. I'll wait till then.
Yeah, I thought I saw it on the release date switch list.
It's coming to everything. PC, PlayStation 5, Xbox, X and X, Switch 2, all this summer.
Yay. Also, Chromebook is coming to early access in March, specifically on March 5th, and set to be spend a year in early access. And this is a dark fantasy game with roguelite elements. I can't tell if this trailer is gameplay. It looks gameplay. Yeah. I don't know. It looks very grim dark.
I saw a great tweet from Shaman, who has written into our show quite regularly this morning, because a new game got announced. Cinecross is coming out this week on Steam, which is a Picross crossed with roguelite. And at this point, Shaman makes a very good point. Make a game in 2026 without Souls, Metroid, or roguelike elements. Difficulty impossible.
He forgot deck builder.
No, I think we're done our deck builder era at this
Okay,
point.
because
If
that's
a
a
deck builder is coming out, it's because it's being ported from PC onto consoles and it came out in like 2023 or 2024.
but also, what is this Picross roguelite?
Cinecross, CinecrossS. I can't tell if this is one of those games that's going to be an edge case for us, where it's like maybe we should cover it, but it's probably going to need someone to champion it, like to review it before we're going to actually cover it. So,
I cannot spell this. CIN.
Cross, and I'll even put it in the Twitch chat.
I
For
found it.
those who are watching us live at twitch.tv/rpgamer every Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Oh God, this looks good.
I have just unlocked Kelly's new
Like, look,
addiction.
I love, you guys have no idea how, well, you do have an idea. I love
I like
Picross
Picross
games.
too. So, yeah, I'm with you on this one.
Hopefully I mean, it should be Steam Deck compatible. I can't see why a Picross game wouldn't run on the Steam Deck. It comes out next week,
Comes
so.
out on Tuesday, I believe, if I can
Oh,
math correctly.
wishlisted.
Now, if this came out on Switch 2 with mouse controls, that would be baller. All right,
Yeah.
I'm done interrupting the podcast. Other new early access games.
Remnants of Yore coming to early access in March, specifically on March 26.
Guess what genre it is? Yeah,
Roguelite.
it's a cozy roguelite.
Oh,
Set to
cozy roguelite.
combining
What?
Hades-style action combat, Moonlighter-esque shopkeeping, and Stardew Valley slice of life elements. That is a
You know, they could
Wow.
just say Rune Factory.
Yeah, nobody ever references Rune Factory.
But also the main character is a cat.
Oh.
Oh.
Now I'm interested.
Yep.
Oh, except it's early access. Damn it.
Yeah,
There are
and
two.
the screenshots don't do a good that we have posted don't really do a good job of selling it.
What the heck? It's these are just background images.
Yeah.
There's
Yeah.
literally. Okay, that's a weird. It's literally the same things at different times of the year. Here's your house in five different seasons. Oh, that's an odd set of screenshots.
The Steam page, which we've linked, has a video with a lot more information, so.
Okay. Oh, wow. That video immediately looks way different than the screenshots. Are we sure those are the right screenshots?
No, yeah, it sounds
Huh?
like maybe we got these screenshots before they put up their Steam page.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually the screenshots look way more detailed too. Like maybe that's like intro. Everything looks way rougher in that video. Or
All right. Well,
okay.
it's coming to early access in March.
There's a demo.
So you can play the demo now. You
Yeah.
can play it in early access March 26th. And we'll see how this game shapes up once we're able to actually play it.
Menace has been released in early access, and this is a war-themed tactical RPG. I imagine very XCOM inspired. There's a lot of tanks and people in camouflage.
As one does when they're in war.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
Is
and
that a
also,
spaceship too? We got spaceships.
Space.
apparently you can also play this if you have Ultimate Game Pass for your PC.
Oh, so Chris will be able to play it.
Yeah. Moving on, Duloc Town's third major early access update has been released. This was the side-scrolling RPG.
The only one out there.
Yeah, the only one out there. No, meant to be a harvest. Well, the update is called the Harvest Fusion update, said to
Oh.
focus more on farming and story content.
Huh. Mix and match crops, faction quests.
It looks like a post-apocalyptic Terraria.
It says it's that. Yep.
Yeah.
It's set in an oasis in a post-apocalyptic world. Create automated production systems and upgrade farming skill trees.
Pause, did you have the new releases for the week?
No.
That's usually Chris's job.
Yup, and who has two thumbs and totally blanked on it? Yeah, boy.
Ah,
Well,
says. If you want to start getting stuff together, we could go through the editorial content.
Yeah. Ryan Costa reviewed Dragon Quest VII.
He did.
He gave it a 4 out of 5.
This was
Did
his
he?
first Dragon Quest. If you read through here, the description of the game is, yeah, it's Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I was about to ask, was this his first time playing it? And you say, yeah, it's his first
It's the
Dragon
first time
Quest.
Dragon Quest, yep.
So, yeah, it says that the visuals really make the character design shine. Each island's story is a heartfelt gamut of emotions to experience, and learning new vocations for combat is fun. The negatives, the occasional minor plot hole can be distracting, and enemy strength increases to the point that vocational choices feel more limited in late game. See,
Yeah, I mean, there's what, 10 base, jobs, and there's not more than like three or four of the, what is it, you got the next level, and then the level after that, the third level jobs you got to master. So, yeah, you by the end of the game, you need to be those late game jobs. You're not going to beat it being a warrior, especially since, you have to have those jobs this time. Nothing carries over.
Does this game tell you what jobs you have to combine to get the high level ones?
Now that's a good question. I don't know.
Huh. 'Cause I know that like you had to look that up in the guide that I had. 'Cause it weren't the three like big. Well, I know that there was Sage and Hero, and I had to kind of planned my path very early because I knew I wanted at least two sages in my party. Huh. Well, I guess I'll find that out later. Anyway, I'm glad Ryan liked it. He didn't get to experience the drudgery that was the other two versions. We've got a Neo 3 review from Jordan McLean. Gave it a 3.5 out of 5, saying that the samurai and ninja styles mesh well, countless customization options for character builds, outstanding and intense Japanese inspired soundtrack, a good visual direction, and exploration entails growth. Negatives, performance issues, especially in the mid game. What did he play? He played this on PS5. Sparse and thinly spread plot, open world gets repetitive and lacks new enemies with poor enemy variety in late game. I've had many people tell me I need to play the Neo games because there's cats in them. We've got the Jimmy and the Pulsating Mass review from Sam Wachter. This was the kind of Earthbound S game that it was on PC originally and then came out for all the consoles. She gave it a 3.5 out of 5, saying that the imagination system is a fun concept, lots of side content, and interesting themes and metaphors as the positives. Negatives, the combat isn't engaging, other characters in combat do not feel balanced, and the puzzles aren't always well explained.
Did I hear that wrong? You said 3.5. She gave this a 3.
Sorry, 3.
Yep.
Misread.
That's all right. It's middle of the road here.
And then our last editorial, a special part spark, what makes a game feel alive, by Kay Vandevert.
One of our new feature writers.
Yes, we have like three new editorialists that have
Correct.
joined our staff. So expect to see some upcoming features and more editorial content coming your way.
See, for me, it's the characters. When I feel like I'm friends with characters that are completely fictional in a game, that's when a game kind of feels great for me. Like, someone dies and I actually want to go avenge their death. If we didn't already have a question of the week, that's what I would ask. But we have our question.
Keep that one in your pocket.
Okay, but that was all the news.
All right. So I looked over all of the various ways that we have to pull together upcoming games, and I think there's just the three.
Is
So
that last
on.
one for other consoles or something?
Yes.
Okay. Because it came out for a lot to
So.
begin with.
Yeah, so Yakuza Kiwami 3 and Dark Ties is coming to PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox Series S and X, and Nintendo Switch 2 on February 12th. We have Disciples Domination coming to Windows, PS5, and Xbox Series S and X. That's a dark fantasy strategy RPG with turn-based combat. And then, if you've been sad that Rune Factory Guardians of Azuma was only available on Windows and Switch consoles, good news, as of February 13th, you will be able to also play it on PS5 and Xbox Series S and X. Our review of Rune Factory was written by you.
By me. I
By
loved it.
you.
It
Four and
was
a half out of
excellent.
five.
Yes,
Yes. So I'm
it
guessing you
was.
played this on the Switch One.
I did, but the so I was playing it obviously beforehand, and they sent us the Switch 2 code about a week before it went live. Basically, because it came out right before the Switch 1 or before the Switch 2, they within a couple days of the Switch 2 being out, they got it. Alex forwarded me the code, so I played like the last 15 hours on the Switch 2. I think my review, I tagged it as a Switch 2 review since
You did.
I'd played about a third of it on there. And yeah, I mean, faster load times. It's what you expect. It looked beautiful on the Switch. It was nothing like Rune Factory 5, where, you're walking around town and people are just popping in. It was more like you would warp and maybe 2 seconds later there'd be a pop in. And once you got on the Switch 2, that wasn't even an issue. So.
So
It improved things, but it was good on both.
I deliberately waited until I got my Switch 2 to play that for that reason.
You did put as a con in the review that the graphics pop in when moving locations is noticeable. That's true of both the Switch and the Switch 2, is what you're saying?
You know what? A little bit still on the Switch too. Okay, I want to say about 5 seconds. Yeah, there was a very noticeable on the Switch 1, but even the Switch 2, there was a little bit. Because I remember I kept going to the same person to try to. One of the blacksmiths was in the same winter town, and it was a beat. It was a definite beat, even on the Switch 2 late game. But I mean, again, it's 1 or 2 seconds. It's not the ridiculousness that was Rune Factory 5, which I kind of want to go back and play on the Switch 2 and just see if if I can
If
walk
being on
outside
the Switch 2 will
and,
help, yeah, maybe.
can I get to the middle of my farm before my farm populates? Because on Switch 1, you could, but I mean, I wouldn't. It's a negative, but it's that negative that makes it a 4.5 to 5. Like, it's an excellent game. And where are we
Cool.
now?
I was gonna say, what else is coming out?
That's it.
Just those three, at least in terms of RPGs that I can find. The week after is going to
Favorite.
be busy.
Yeah. Our question of the week again is what's your favorite match three game? Why is it not Puzzle Quest? Or is it Puzzle Quest? That's my answer. It's Puzzle Quest.
Would Wario's Woods count? Is that technically
Ooh.
match three? Because I love the crap out of that game.
Which one?
Wario's Woods?
Mario's Woods.
That was a late NES release, but also came out on Super Nintendo.
Is it match three? I guess. I mean, you're dropping stuff in.
I mean, you're using bomb, you're using colored bombs to
Yeah.
do stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sure as hell wasn't Puzzles and Dragons Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, I was about to say that game, but wasn't that one also kind of grindy?
It sure as heck was. Thank
Yeah.
God I had enough of those. Eventually, I was like, I'm done with this game. And really, like, I had saved a bunch of one-ups, and I was just like, let's just go. Let's take on the last one. I'm sick of grinding. I will just die my way through this game and use every. I've got, what, 10 extra lives? Let's do it. I bet I can get through with those extra lives. That was a game defeated out of spite.
At some point, we're going to have you back on the podcast and we're going to hear the whole spite story.
It was just, it was not fun. It was something I'd bought years before. And like I played this well after the Switch came out. And I was like, oh, let's play a 3DS game this month. That was the wrong one to play.
Gotcha. Right. I think we have tortured people enough with this show.
Yeah.
Probably.
What are we
So,
going to play this week?
I am going to try to finish Hyrule Warriors, and then I'm kind of going back and forth on whether I want to jump into another action RPG, or if I want to go back and finish FFT, or if I want to do Dragon Quest. So, oh, and Octopath Zero just went on sale. Damn it.
Oh, see that? Oh, did it really? Thought I had that bookmarked. That's gonna have to be later this year. I gotta get through Atelier April. Then I'm
Yeah.
ready for Atelier April and Dragon Quest VII. When that's done, yes, I want to hit Octopath Zero because I love me the Octopath.
Yeah,
So.
I cannot remember my backtrack homework for the year. I know I've got a tactical game that I need to play.
I'm gonna have this done, and then I just got Christmas Kiseki ahead of me, so I got plenty of time for
Hyrule
that.
Warriors for sure-sies, and then we'll see what happens from there.
I am not touching a Yuden Chronicles anytime soon.
Oh dear.
Yeah, my minor tactical grab bag, that's when I'm gonna play one of the other Fire Emblem indie clones.
Ooh.
And then I've got a couple of Saga, I've got Saga Emerald Beyond I wanted to play.
So Platy is stuck in Atelier homework. Kells is
Atelier and
doing.
yep.
And I need to do Trails into Daybreak at some point too, so.
Oh.
Say, yeah, I gotta do that, but I got also
I'm
Trails into
so behind
Revelry.
on the Trails games at this point.
Listen, backtrack's the only thing getting me through them.
I am at, what's the one that comes after Cold Steel 4? Because that's the one that I'm on.
That's what I gotta play.
Reverie.
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 Yeah, so that's
Yep.
the one that I stopped at. So I think I have like six games that I need to catch up on. So thank you everybody who stopped by the Twitch chat today. By the way, everybody who gives match three games. Please remember that our poor hair frog is a recovering bejeweled junkie, and that you definitely don't want to encourage him to get back into it.
There was that version of Puzzle Quest that was tied with Magic the Gathering that I was addicted to for the longest time.
Yeah, but it came to its end of service life, right?
Oh, I didn't know it died already. Huh.
Or maybe I'm thinking of a different game.
That game is what got me into actual Magic the Gathering, believe it or
Huh,
not.
okay. So
Even
yeah,
though
that is.
they do not play anything alike.
All right. I think we all know. Goilingu in the Twitch chat says, I've already downloaded Gems of War and Hair Frog t should too. Yes, I like this. Everybody play Gems of War. It's fun. If you play on PC iOS, let me know. It'll be fun to say hello to each other. We can PvP together. So thank you, Kells.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Chris, for doing technical support when stuff went wrong before we started recording the podcast. Even though he's not on the show today and he's like downstairs doing his poor help desk for the week. So shout out to him, and we will see everybody next week. Bye everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Go play a match three.